From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. Getting the hour underway with an episode of Double or Nothing, the long-running quiz program which aired on NBC from the mid-40s through the early 50s. This broadcast from May 2nd of 1951, the series sponsored by Campbell's Soup and its many offshoots, as you'll hear from the commercials. And on this episode, Double or Nothing features contestants from Vancouver.
No secret, why do thousands favor the flavor of Campbell's pork and beans? It's the extra good tomato sauce in Campbell's pork and beans. Now the beans are plump and the pork has zest, but in pork and beans, the final test is tomato sauce. And it's the best in Campbell's pork and beans.
Yes, Campbell's pork and beans are best because they're made with the best tomato sauce. Get Campbell's pork and beans.
Good. That's what Campbell's Soup's
done. Hollywood Campbell's Soup presents Double or Nothing, starring Walter O'Keefe. Canada says soup for lunch.
Every noontime, everywhere, soup for lunch, soup for lunch.
A mealtime habit millions share.
It's soup for lunch each day.
From coast to coast across the Dominion, in Quebec, Winnipeg, Regina, Vancouver, Canadians share a happy eating habit, soup for lunch. And every day, a great many have Campbell's tomato soup. No wonder. It's made with plump, red ripe tomatoes, golden table butter, just right seasoning. Mmm, good. The soup most folks like best. Often make your soup for lunch. Campbell's tomato soup.
Let's have bowls of soup for lunch.
Soup for lunch.
Soup for lunch.
There's a lunch that packs a punch.
Soup for lunch today.
Here now is Double or Nothing special Wednesday show in Campbell's Soup's Man of the Half Hour. Your paymaster of ceremony, Walter O'Keefe, to bring you Vancouver, British Columbia against the world. Okay, O'Keefe.
Much, ladies and gentlemen, for such a hearty welcome. Greetings to all of you around the country. You know, perhaps I'd better explain what Lou meant when he called this our special Wednesday show. You see, today, folks, we have two guests from Vancouver who've flown down here on a luxurious plane at 300 miles an hour to defend the honor of their hometown. They're going to compete in a battle of brains against two people we've chosen from the studio audience to represent the rest of the world.
The winners will be judged by the number of credit points earned, not by the amounts of money won by the teams. The Grand Slam counts 80 points, the sweepstakes 200.
And now I want you to meet the gentleman who selected the visiting two-man team, Jack Kyle. Jack, on behalf of the United States of America, on behalf of Double or Nothing, on behalf of Hollywood, on behalf of Campbell's Soups, I welcome you to this studio here. We're glad to have you here.
Oh, Klahalia, Walter. Good to see you.
What did you say?
Klahalia.
Oh, Klahalia?
Klahalia. It's a Kanak term of sort of Halia.
Oh, Klahalia. Well, I'll have to remember that. Is it any cousin to Okinawa, Oklahoma?
This is a Canadian term, Walter. The Indians used to say greetings.
The Indians said what?
Greetings.
Greetings? Did the Indians say that? I just thought they said ugh.
Sometimes they say ugh, good.
Well. Now, I'd like to ask you this, my good young man. Tell me something about Vancouver. I know something I want to talk about later when one of your contestants comes out. But what are the main industries of Vancouver? I assume fishing?
Well, yes, fishing is.
Don't you have a tremendous logging industry in Vancouver?
Oh, we do indeed. As a matter of fact, I believe there are many famous people up in Vancouver.
Celebrities from the logging industry?
I believe there's one that is down here. Charlie McCarthy, I believe, was discovered up in our country.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. I have to ask Edgar if he's a Vancouver boy. Now, Jack, we'd like to show our appreciation of your visit by making you our official scorekeeper in today's round of Cities Against the World. If you'll please step over there to that blackboard, we'd like you to keep count of points earned by each team. Remember, accuracy is important, because your scoring will determine which team wins. But first, will you introduce your first contestant from Vancouver, B.C.?
Well, coming out of her corner fighting Walter is Mrs. Helen Johnson.
Miss
is Helen Bridget O'Mara Johnson is a beautiful euphonious name. Helen, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you, Walter. I'm very happy to be here, and I have a present for you.
This present comes from whom?
The Totem Land.
From the Totem Land?
That's right.
Well, I thank you very much. This is, I take it, it's a spectacular tie.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes,
wait till I get a look at this and show it to... Oh! Well, am I ready for color television? But I thank you very much, and I will wear it in good health, as the phrase is. Now, let me ask you this. What's your husband's job?
Oh, he takes money from banks.
Was he in on the brink job in Washington, Boston?
Oh, no, nothing so spectacular.
He takes money from banks?
Yes, he does.
Is he with the Canadian government?
He works with the armored cars.
Oh, I see. He's a guard?
A guard on the armored cars.
Now, how was your air trip? Have you flown much?
No, not very much.
Your first trip?
This was wonderful.
How was it? Tell me about your visit here in Hollywood.
Well, it's been outstanding. It's been the greatest thing that's happened to me so far in my life.
Well, let me ask you this, Helen. Is your husband your dream prince, and have you any quarrels with him? Is he the perfect spouse or what?
Oh, I think he's just the finest ever.
You haven't any grudges against him at all?
Well, his job, you know. His job, really. He has all this money. He carries $500,000 from this bank to this payroll, and he goes from one place to the other with all this money. And I'm downtown some days, and I see him down there, and then he asks me if I can give him a dime for coffee.
He sounds like a great guy. Now, let's see if you can win some money here. You're representing Vancouver against the world. You can win fame, fortune, and a Ben Russ watch. Here's the $80 Grand Slam question. My chum, Sherman Billingsley of the Stork Club in New York, loses 1,700 inscribed ashtrays to souvenir mad customers each month. What do they cost apiece?
25 cents.
25 cents. Thank you very much, my dear. Now, first of all, what category?
Number four, please.
Number four, fictional and historical people whose names have become nouns and adjectives. All right. The names of a lot of people, both real and fictional, have become nouns and adjectives. For instance, a cruel taskmaster is often called a Simon Legree.
Yes.
You see, that's like Harry Spears over here. Now, the $2 question for Campbell Soup. What Shakespearean act character's name is applied to a lover boy? He loved Juliet. Remember the comment, like Ham and Eggs or Love and Abner? What was his name?
Romeo.
That's
wherefore
it.
Art thou Romeo? You said to him.
Romeo. For $4, Campbell Soup says, Charles Dickens, in his Christmas Carol, gave us the name for Stingy Mam. What is it?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
That's right. In this country, it's known as Benny. Now, the $6 question. The name of a Florentine statesman has become an adjective to describe an unscrupulous politician. What is that adjective?
Machiavelli.
That's right. The hero of a Spanish romance by Cervantes has given us an adjective which means idealistic but impractical. Don was his first name, and he rode off in four directions.
Quixotic or Don Quixote.
Don Quixote. All right. Of course you want to go double or nothing.
What would you do
with the money? Would you send for the armored car to bring it back to Canada?
Don't ask me. With six children, I can find places for money.
$20, Campbell Soup says, a fabulously rich man is called by the name of a king in Greek mythology who turned everything he touched to gold. What was his name?
Midas.
His logical descendant is Bing. And now for $40, double or nothing. Campbell Soup says, a Greek philosopher has given us an adjective to describe a love that is purely spiritual, such as existed between Shaw and that gal he wrote letters to. What is that adjective?
Platonic.
Platonic. You've won $40. Thank you, Mr. Professor. What's on today's menu, Lou?
First on today's menu, Walter, is a musical appetizer about a mighty appetizing dish, Campbell's Tomato Soup.
From east to west, the soup like best is Campbell's Tomato Soup.
At noon or night, it's a real delight to any family group.
They'll say it's great when you serve each plate as into the dining room they troop. It's rich and bright and tastes just right, that's Campbell's Tomato Soup. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes, ma'am, Campbell's tomato soup brightens up even the simplest meal. For here's the matchless flavor of luscious red ripe tomatoes blended with golden table butter and seasoned to perfection. Mmm, good. No wonder Campbell's tomato soup is the soup most folks like best. And no wonder they like to have it so often. So, Mother, never be without Campbell's tomato soup. It's the handiest thing on your kitchen shelf.
Originally from Oakland, California, we have a hot Marine here. He's decorated up in front with as much color as I got in that tie from Vancouver. This is Corporal Morris Levine, USMC. Morris, we're glad to have you here. Now, let me ask you this, Morris. Your first name, your nickname isn't San, is it?
No, hardly.
San Morris. Now, you've been in the Marines how long?
3.5 years, sir.
3.5 years?
Yes, sir.
What did you do before you went in the Marines?
Industrial stylist.
Industrial styling?
Passenger seats.
Passenger seats?
That's right.
What fascinating work. What is the latest thing? Passenger seats for what, Morris?
Airplanes.
Airplanes? Well, what is the newest... How do you measure these? To provide the greatest comfort for the greatest people.
Well, our boss was a pretty good size across the beam. And he was about the standard measurement for our passenger seat.
Where'd you go to school, Morris?
I graduated from Hollywood High School.
No.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fact?
Uh-huh.
How come you didn't wind up in movies?
I ain't got the features for it.
You're not married yet?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? How did you happen to meet Mrs. Levine?
Met her eating a hamburger down the pike.
Oh, with a fragrance fleur de onion. What a heavenly thing. You said that's the girl I want to marry?
No. No, I noticed her eyes. She's got the biggest brown eyes you ever saw.
Oh, you romantic, incurable fellow. Where was she eating this hamburger? In the Macambo or
no,
La
Rue? The pike down Long Beach.
On the pike on Long Beach. Oh, yeah.
One of those little dives, you know, they got off the side. Oh, it's a hamburger joint.
All right, a hamburger joint. Now, Morris, I want to explain one thing to you. You are representing the world against Vancouver today. In addition to the money that you might win, you could also win a Ben Russ watch. So, first of all, what's your favorite kind of Campbell's soup?
Cream of mushroom.
Cream of mushroom? We'll
yes,
send
sir.
You a gift card with a sponsor's compliments. And here comes the $80 Grand Slam question. Sherman Billingsley, the Boniface of the Stork Club in New York, loses 1,700 inscribed ashtrays to souvenir mad customers every month. What do they cost a piece?
Wholesale or retail?
I know Billingsley, kid. It's wholesale. Don't worry about that.
I'll say 13 cents.
13 cents. Thank you, Morris. What category for you, sir?
Number 12.
Number 12? Things antagonistic to other things. Gee, it sounds like the present situation in America. Things antagonistic to other things. $2 question for Campbell Soup. Dogs traditionally fight with what are other animals?
Cats.
Have you heard from the cats lately? The $4 question for Campbell Soup. Oil won't mix with what liquid composed of hydrogen and oxygen?
Water.
Gee, you know your chemistry, don't you?
Flunked it in high school.
$6 question for Campbell Soup. An alkali will neutralize what chemical substance? It's a word that means sour.
Acid.
Right. The $10 question for Campbell Soup. A proton repels what kind of electrical charge? It begins with E.
Electron.
That's it. Double or nothing for $20. Campbell Soup says, in the famous mountain feud, the Martins fight with whom?
McCoys.
That's it. You're in for 20 bucks. Now, double or nothing for... What would you do with the money? Go back to the pike and have a hamburger with your wife?
No. No, I was going to get some money back from the government on my income tax.
Oh, and, you optimist.
Well, I know it's coming this time.
All right. For $40, and I hope you make it. Campbell Soup says, according to the saying, you shouldn't mix business and what?
Pleasure.
You've won 40 bucks. Congratulations. Our battle between the teams representing Vancouver and the rest of the world will continue in just a moment.
This concludes the first half of Double or Nothing, brought to you by Campbell's Tomato Soup.
Why do millions favor the flavor of Campbell's pork and beans? It's the extra good tomato sauce in Campbell's pork and beans. Now the beans are plump and the pork has zest, but in pork and beans, the final test is tomato sauce, and it's the best in Campbell's pork and beans.
Here we are in the second half of Double or Nothing, brought to you by Campbell's pork and beans. Listen for the Grand Slam finish and the pork and bean sweepstakes, the thrilling climax and the battle between Vancouver and the rest of the world. Now here's our paymaster of ceremonies, Walter O'Keefe. Okay, O'Keefe.
From Vancouver, representing Vancouver against the world, I represent Mrs. Shirley Wimbles, and I say to you, Shirley, kahawa. What have you got in your hand, Shirley?
I have a present for you, Walter, from Totem Land as well.
From Totem Land?
Yes, this is... This is a Thunderbird.
No.
Yes. It's a Thunderbird, and he is a god to the Indian tribe that carved this for you. And underneath here, holding the world, which is, as you can see, British Columbia to them, yes, on his shoulders, is the first man of the world. I think something like, I better not try to pronounce it.
That's the first man of the world. Well, hold it up straight to the audience so they can see. Doesn't that look like a sunset bus scene? No, that is a very beautiful trophy, and Shirley, believe me, I... Oh, that's going to scare me some morning. That look in his eye. You know, it's funny, I swear, I've seen him before. Tell me about your visit here in Hollywood.
Well, Walter, I was kicked by a Moscow mule.
You were kicked by a Moscow mule? How come you were kicked by a Moscow mule?
Well, I didn't know what they were, but I wanted to try them, and I did.
What are they? Your husband is a commercial artist?
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever been his model?
No. No.
I understand that you're quite a swimmer.
Yes, I've done a lot of swimming, Walter.
Got any cups or titles?
Well, a long time ago, about 46, I took the Saskatchewan Provincial Freestyle.
The Saskatchewan Provincial Freestyle.
I know you're going to ask me where Saskatchewan is.
No, I was just wondering if that was anywhere near the Moscow Mule Country. How did you meet your husband, Shirley?
Underwater.
You know, more people should do that. I don't know, some of the things I've seen underwater look so much better than when I see them above water. But you weren't disappointed when the two of you shot up.
Oh, no. I was young and foolish.
You weren't so foolish. Shirley, look, dear, you have a big opportunity here today. By the way, we are sending you a gift card and a Campbell's pork and beans, but representing Vancouver against the world, you can win not only money and fame, but a Ben Rust watch. So let's have your category. Which one?
Number one, Walter, music.
Number one? All right, here comes the Grand Slam question. Sherman Billingsley, a man in the Stork Club in New York, loses 1,700 inscribed ashtrays to souvenir mad customers each month. What do they cost a piece? This doesn't include what Peter Donald takes away.
I'd say about $1.
$1? We'll put it down. Here comes Cole Porter Hits for Campbell's Pork and Beans, played by Mr. Irv Orton.
Rosalie, my darling.
Yes, Rosalie. And gee, that was written a long while ago. How come you know? Are you musical yourself?
No, not particularly.
The $4 question for Campbell's, played on the piano.
I've got you under my skin.
I've got you under my skin. That's what the State Department is singing to the communists. Now, here's the $6 question. $6 question for Campbell's and the organ.
This thing called love?
What is this thing called love? It's a thing you find when you grab a man's ankles underwater. It's a $10 question for Campbell's on the piano by Irv. Should we dance?
When they begin the begin.
When they begin the begin. Introduced by June Knight in a play called Jubilee. Now, do you want to go double or nothing, don't you?
Yes, please.
What would you do with the money if you were to win?
I'm going to buy my friend some nice...
You're going to buy
souvenirs.
Some what? Some souvenirs? All right, double or nothing for $20. Campbell says, listen to this on the organ and piano. One of the great Western songs of all time.
Don't Fence Me In.
Don't Fence Me In. And now for $40. Good luck to you. Campbell says, go over the top with this one.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. These things happen, honey. People get up here. Shirley, wait a minute, dear. I know you know it. But inasmuch as this is a contest, I can't help you. It's anything goes.
Oh, that's right.
Terribly sorry, Shirley. Terribly sorry. Thank you for coming by. Now, Lou Crosby.
The best pork and beans you ever tasted. That's Campbell's Pork and Beans. Yes, ma'am, you can't beat the matchless flavor of Campbell's pork and beans. And here's why. The sauce makes them best. You see, Campbell's put all their years of kitchen know-how into this superb blending of luscious red ripe tomatoes, savory spices, and gentle seasoning. Then Campbell's cooked choice beans and lean bacon pork right along with this extra good sauce till that homey flavor cooks deep into every plump, tender bean. Delicious. This afternoon, get several cans of Campbell's pork and beans. And say, if you have a big family or a small family with big appetites, get the handy 1 pound, 7 ounce family-size can. It's the big buy in the best beans. That's the big family-size can of Campbell's pork and beans with the extra good tomato sauce that makes them best. Get some today.
From Superior, Wisconsin, we have Mrs. Pearl Regan. Kahawa, Pearl.
Kahawa.
Kahawa. You know, I was just looking at this lovely little chap here. This totem pole, greetings from British Columbia, totem land, a great place to live, to work, and to play. And I want to thank Ellen Neal of Katkasolis for her job of sculpture here. Now, from Superior, Wisconsin, visiting relatives on her second honeymoon, married 27 years, 2 children, 2 grandchildren. Pearl, that's quite a record, and I'm glad to have you on your second honeymoon.
Thank you.
You sound like an incurable romanticist.
Oh, maybe I am.
Did you catch your husband in the water, dear?
Oh, no. It was
back
a little harder than that.
Back where?
It was a little harder than that.
A little harder than that? How did it happen with you, Pearl?
Well, I met him in high school, and he was about the most bashful boy in the class.
You are?
It was harder to catch than feet underwater.
Well, how did you eventually catch the rascal?
Well,
what impressed you about
him? I really
him?
Had to do all the work.
Let's reenact that scene, Pearl. I am a very bashful boy. How would you approach me?
Well, of course, you know how it is when you're trying to make the grade with a good-looking kid.
No, I don't.
And he's a bachelor.
No.
And he gets red behind the ears every time you want to talk to him.
All right, so I'm red behind the ears.
So I'm sitting behind him in school.
Yeah.
And, of course, I know all the answers.
Are we talking about schoolwork, Pearl?
Schoolwork. And I know all the answers, but I'm pretending I don't.
Ah.
So I'm poking him in the back and I'm asking him, see?
That
way I got acquainted.
And you've been married for 27 years.
Almost.
As a woman who's had 2 children of your own and you got 2 grandchildren, your hobby, it says here, no charge is a babysitter. She won't work for anyone who can afford to pay.
No.
Would you like to get anybody here one day? What do you mean you won't work for anybody who can afford to pay?
Well, because I think that should go to the girls who are out to earn a little spending money. And I don't need the money, and I just help out the young couples who can't afford a babysitter. So I call myself a babysitter that sits for no pay.
Pearl, you are one of the most... You know, with an offer like that, Pearl, you'll probably get more mail here at NBC than the White House got last week. Now, we're going to send you a gift carton of Campbell's Pork and Beans. You're representing the world against Vancouver. You can win a Ben Russ watch here today also. Here's the Grand Slam question. Sherman Billingsley of the Star Club in New York loses 1,700 inscribed ashtrays to souvenir mad customers each month. What do they cost apiece?
I'd say 7 cents.
7 cents. Thank you, Pearl. What category?
14.
14 has to do with former names, or proper names in everyday use. What is a John Hancock? What do you mean by that?
Name.
Yes, it's a signature. The Campbell $4 question. What is a Mother Hubbard?
It's an apron, a house dress.
A house dress. The $6 question for Campbell. What is a Jolly Roger?
Oh, God.
What is a Jolly Roger? We cannot help you from the audience, unfortunately, dear, in today's program. What is a Jolly Roger? Oh, I'm so sorry, Pearl. I'll have to tell you, it's something that hangs or flies over a used car lot. It's a pirate's flag.
Never heard of it.
It's a pirate's flag. Stand by, maybe you'll win in the sweepstakes, dear. We'll be back in just a moment with a Grand Slam winner in the Pork and Bean Sweepstakes and the climax of the battle, Vancouver against the world.
It's no secret.
Why do millions favor the flavor of Campbell's Pork and Beans? It's the extra good tomato sauce in Campbell's Pork and Beans. Now the beef are plump and the pork has zest, but in pork and beans, the final test is tomato sauce. And it's the best in Campbell's Pork and Beans.
Yes, it's the lively, rich sauce that makes Campbell's Pork and Beans the best. This superb blend of luscious tomatoes and gentle seasonings is cooked right along with choice beans and lean bacon pork till there's extra flavor in every tender bean. Delicious. So get the best. Get Campbell's Pork and Beans with the extra good tomato sauce.
The Grand Slam question. Sherman Billingsley of the Stork Club in New York loses 1,700 inscribed ashtrays to souvenir mad customers each month. What do they cost a piece? The answer is 55 cents. Gee, it occurs to me, I own quite a few bucks now. See, with an answer of 25 cents, the nearest guest was Helen Johnson of Vancouver. Congratulations.
Now, friends, the Pork and Bean Sweepstakes. Today's cash prize from Campbell's amounts to $268. Today's winning question comes from Mrs. Leo Sullivan of Manville, Rhode Island, and we'll pay half our sweepstakes, $134 for it. The first contestant to come up with a correct answer wins the other half of our sweepstakes, or $134. If no one wins, the studio contestants' half the money will be added to tomorrow's Pork and Bean Sweepstakes. Walter?
You have 30 seconds. Get out your pencil for Mrs. Leo Sullivan's question. Here it comes. In Du Maurier's book, Trilby, who hypnotized the heroine and in that state taught her to sing?
Campbell's bring you the Pork and Bean Sweepstakes. Now we're paying off again. Take a try at the Pork and Bean Sweepstakes. Think about it, rack your brain. Come on and join this money-making caper. If you know the answer, write it on your paper. Walter, hey Walter, have we got a winner today, Have we got a winner today?
No, I am amazed. We have no winner. In Du Maurier's book, Trilby, who hypnotized the heroine and in that state taught her to sing? The answer is Svengali, and not, as the Marine said, Joe Schloop the midget. Congratulations, Mrs. Sullivan. Ladies and gentlemen, listen tomorrow for the details on how you can enter this exciting sweepstakes contest. And now it's time for the showdown in our battle of wits, Vancouver against the world. So let's ask our official scorekeeper, Jack Kyle, to announce today's winner.
Walter, we have the finals here, and the world has 44 points. Vancouver, British Columbia, 140.
That was an exciting show you put on, girls. And here for each of you is a superlatively styled Ben Russ wristwatch. Ben Russ is the official watch of Famous Airlines. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
Don't miss the next round of this great contest. Tune in next Wednesday and hear Minneapolis, St. Paul against the world.
This is Walter O'Keefe saying goodbye. And when you buy pork and beans, get the best. Say goodbye to the rest, get Campbell.
Never let us equal half hour. Starting Walter O'Keefe is brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the Campbell Soup Company Limited of Canada.
This is Lou Crosby saying goodbye till tomorrow.
Whenever you want a good, hearty lunch with the youngsters, serve Franco-American spaghetti. Franco-American is finest quality spaghetti in a tantalizing sauce of juicy tomatoes and tangy cheddar cheese. Only pennies a portion. Just heat and...
Eat hearty.
Eat hearty with Franco-American spaghetti.
Eat hearty.
Eat hearty with Franco-American spaghetti.
Double or Nothing, featuring contestants from Vancouver for that particular episode. That NBC broadcast from May 2nd, 1951. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, where we present sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the Radio Theater, you can do so by email. Our address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And if you want more info about the show, such as detailed program playlists, or if you want to listen to and or download episodes of the Radio Theater at your convenience, then please head over to our blog and website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or audio for this episode, please look for Upstate Radio Theater program number 1807. For our next offering, we'll venture just outside of what most folks consider to be the golden age of radio. Many people feel that the golden age of radio died at the end of September of 1962 when CBS canceled Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar and Suspense, after both series enjoyed long runs on the network. However, in the decades since, there have been many attempts to revive radio drama, even on major radio networks. In 1964, ABC attempted to revive the magic of radio drama through its series Theater 5, so named because the series aired Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and it aired at 5 p.m. each day. There were 260 episodes of Theater 5 produced from August 3, 1964, through July 30th of 1965. This broadcast, program number 110 in the series, aired on New Year's Day, January 1st, 1965. It's called Discotheque.
What is this place? Where am I?
Like, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
How did I get here? How?
Keep dancing, man.
What am I doing here?
Keep dancing, man. Keep dancing.
Theater 5 presents Discotheque.
Jenny, it's no use, Jenny. I know you're here somewhere. Jenny! I beg your pardon, sir. I'm trying to find my wife. I know she ran this way, and I... No, wait. Say, wait a minute. What all the nerve. Just ignored me and walked away. All the blazes with him. I've got to find her. Got to find my wife. Excuse me, madam. Could you help me? I'm looking for a woman. Well, she looks more like a girl. My wife. You see, I'm sure you'll remember her if you saw her. Please don't turn away like that. Look, here's my card. My name is Ralph Wilson. I'm an investment counselor, a respected man in my... Oh, please, listen to me. What's the matter with all of you? Where am I? What city is this anyway? I'm so confused. Jenny! Jenny! I insist that you answer me! Jenny! 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 I gotta slow down. I'm exhausted. If only I could find a cab or something. No cabs. No cars at all. Where am I? I don't recognize anything. Row after row of tall buildings, as far as your eye can see. And all the windows, dark and lifeless. And these filthy, littered streets, completely empty. A little park over there. I'll sit down just for a second. I must sit down. That's better.
What a dreary-looking park. Grass dead. No flowers. Junk and trash all over the place. Ugly, ugly city.
Hey.
Oh.
You got a match, man?
What?
Like a match, sweetie. You dig?
Young lady, who are you?
Shh. Cool it, man. They may be watching.
What are you talking about?
Cool it. You want some official to dig us making this scene together? Man, there's rules here.
Well, what rules? Where am I? What city is this?
Oh, man. Like I gotta split this place.
Well, you come back here. I insist.
Don't you touch me.
Shh. Ow.
Watch the contact.
My hand. It's burned.
Swear.
What happened? I only touched you and...
Oh, man. You don't dig, do you?
Dig?
No contact. No communication. Like the rules.
What rules? Who makes them?
Oh, man, like you don't make this scene regular, do you?
Well, I'm a stranger around here, if that's what you mean.
A stranger. This cat's found herself a stranger. Like right off the boat from Nowheresville.
I don't understand.
Like you're my ticket, Tiger. You're my one-way ticket. Like out of this scene. Like a chick finds herself a square that don't belong, she can maybe cut out. Split.
What?
Escape. You dig?
Young lady, you've got the wrong ideas about me.
Like I got a lot of ideas. My name's Wilma.
No, no, you don't understand. You see, I'm looking for my wife. Perhaps you saw her. She's a beautiful girl with long golden hair. She's a good deal younger than I am. I'm sure you remember her. She's a dancer. Well, what I mean to say, she always wanted to dance. You see, when she married me, I insisted that she forget all of... Well, that's not important. What happened was that we had difficulties. You see, she ran away, but... I found her, and I was bringing her back when... Well, I don't know. Suddenly, there was a terrible, terrible confusion. And she ran away from me again. I tried to follow, but somehow I lost her. However, I'm certain she's here someplace.
Hey, Tiger. You, like, forget that blonde chick. You got little old Wilma cat now. Man, it's getting dark. We could, like, split this scene so easy.
Get away from me.
Cool it. Cool it.
I want nothing to do with you, do you understand?
Like anything you say. You're blowing solo on this set, man. Only...
Only what?
Like I just might know what scene a certain chick with long golden hair is making.
Ginny, you know where Ginny is? Now tell me.
This cat don't sing for free.
All right, what do you want?
Like when you take this chick back. You take me, too.
Take... Well, that's impossible.
Like no deal? So long, swinger.
No, wait, come back. All right, it's a deal. I'll take you back with me. Now, where is she?
Dancing.
What?
Dancing. Over at Nick's place.
Nick's place?
Yeah, where the action is. Chicks like this Ginny always make it at Nick's.
Who's Nick?
He's the man, Tiger. And the man sits up on the platform and he spins the records. And that beat just goes on and on.
Beat?
And Nick's got himself a discotheque now, man. A swinging discotheque.
Discotheque? One of those crowded jet-set dance halls? I never go to such places.
You want
to
locate your chick? You're going to make that scene.
Oh, very well. Take me there. But I insist that you be quick about it.
Like, wow. Come on. You follow behind me like you didn't know me, but had ideas.
What?
Nobody communicates around here. But like, we all got ideas. Like, that's the lead sheet. Like, that's the whole point. You dig?
What kind of a place is this? That music, it's enough to blast out your eardrums. And the heat. And smoke. Where's Ginny?
She'll show. Come on, Tiger. Turn it on. You're supposed to dance here. It's the rule.
Dance? You call that dancing? Everybody writhing their bodies about? Like tortured animals groping through a fog of heat and smoke. Moving alone as if each were in his own little agonized world. Why, it's indecent. And do they have to play the record so loud? Music blocks out everything. Thought, emotions, memory, everything.
Why, man, this is like where the action is.
Who's that fellow playing the records over there? I swear I've met him someplace.
Like, that's Nick himself.
Perhaps he could help me. Excuse me, sir.
You mean me, Clyde?
You know, I believe we've met someplace.
Like, I'm Nick, Clyde. Like, everybody knows Nick.
My name's Ralph Wilson. You see, say, could you turn down the music a bit?
Clyde, you just don't dig.
I beg your pardon?
Like, welcome to Nick's discotheque, Clyde. Like, it's the in-type scene to make down these parts.
These parts? Where are we?
Clyde, you find out for yourself. Dig?
Go, 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 go.
How long?
Go.
How long does this continue?
It just goes on, man. On.
Oh, this searing heat. And the smoke. Hideous, cacophonous music. It's appalling.
Yeah? That's why you and me gonna split this scene. Gonna split for good. Come on, Tiger, take me away from here. Old Nick ain't looking now. Take me back for good.
No. Until I find my wife. I've got to find Ginny.
I suppose your chick don't want to go back, man. What's the action then?
I'd want to go back. Why, I force her.
Like, wow, Tiger Man strikes again.
You see, I do not tolerate disobedience. Ginny is a very weak-willed person. I've always had to make decisions for her. Why, she even tried to call off our wedding at the last minute. But I was firm.
Like, wow.
You see, my mother had planned a beautiful ceremony and reception for us. Ginny's parents are dead.
Man, like you got a mother-type character making the scene, huh?
My mother is a very fine woman. She's widowed. She lives with us. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Like, that's why this Ginny chick cut out on you, huh?
Of course not. Ginny's a child. A selfish, immature, beautiful child woman who needs to be guided, controlled. I've had to push her into everything. Everything. Why, even buying a permanent home. Can you imagine? She wanted the two of us to live alone in expensive hotel rooms, like a couple of gypsies. Oh, yes, romantic nonsense. Why, she didn't even want to have a child.
Man, this chick, like she's got a kid?
We have a son, Robbie. He's 3 years old.
Man, like a chick's got to be pretty low to put out on her own kid. No wonder she's making this scene.
Well, what's being here got to do with that?
Like everything, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing. This Ginny chick, she ran off with some other cat?
No, nothing like that.
Like, wow, like I'm sorry I asked.
Well, yes. Yes, there were other men. Oh, the disgrace, I terrible disgrace. Everybody knew, my friends, my poor mother.
Let Ginny go, man. Let that sad little chick go.
No, I know what's right for her. For us. No one else can have her. She's mine. I'll make her come with me if I have to force her. If I have to beat her. What's the matter? Why are you staring at me like that?
Just wondering, man, why you ain't here yourself. Permanent.
What?
Oh, turn it on, man. Keep dancing.
Where is she?
She'll show.
Oh, I was so close to finding her. So close to having her for good. And then something happened. If only I could remember. I was so close. Only 3 hours and 15 minutes away. I remember saying that.
Huh?
I remember... Wait a minute. That's it. 3 hours and 15 minutes. That was the time it was going to take for our journey home. Yes. Yes. Now I remember. It was a sunny, beautiful day. And the ground swept away from us as we soared upward. And then it clouded over, but the plane finally broke through the heavy overcast and We were landing.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then... Yes. It's all coming back. Suddenly the plane dropped. As if it were pulled down by some evil giant. I remember thinking that. And there was a horrendous noise. Oh, no. The screams. The people. The flames. And I called her name. Jenny. Jenny.
Turn it on, man. Turn it on. Keep dancing.
And then I saw her in the flames. And she laughed at me. And started running. And I followed her. Jenny. Jenny. Oh, no.
Like now, you're starting to dig, man.
He's dead. You're all. And this place that I followed her to, this is. No!
Something bugging you, Clyde?
Nick?
Yeah. You got the message, Clyde.
Jenny. Where are you, Jenny?
Like, is that the chick you're trying to find? Over there?
Where? Where?
Like over there, Clyde. Way over where I'm pointing. See through the heat and the smoke? You see? Dancing all alone? Like she's making it solo?
Jenny. Jenny! Jenny, I've got to get you out of here. Jenny, speak to me.
Do I know you, mister?
Jenny! Jenny, stop dancing like that, I insist. You're my wife, and I'll not have you making those vulgar gyrations.
I never saw you before, mister.
That dance. That indecent, obscene, lowly dance. Stop it!
I can't, mister. Please, go away.
You better stop bugging this chick, Clyde. This chick ain't having nothing but the big beat.
I can't believe it.
That's the way it is, Clyde. That's the way it is.
I see. And this... This is what it all comes down to, eh? A sweltering discotheque. And a dance that never ends.
That's the way it is, Clyde. Like old me. It never runs out of record.
It never ends. Not for all eternity. The beat keeps going, and the body is continuing to move. Writhing. Grasping. And all the time desiring, but... There's no contact. That's the punishment, isn't it? No human contact.
If you never made it back there, Clyde, you don't expect to make it here.
Well, I'm getting out.
Oh, you want to split, Clyde? So split. You'll be back sooner or later.
No, never. I'm getting out of here, and I'm never coming back. Jenny, take my hand.
Clyde, like the chick stayed.
I'm taking her with me.
Like the chick stayed.
Get out of my way. I've got my hands on you now, Jenny. You're mine.
My hands, my arms, they're on fire. I'm burning.
Like the chick stay.
No. No, I won't release her. She's mine. Burning.
Like the chick stay.
Burning.
He's in pain, Doctor. My poor darling son is in pain.
Mrs. Wilson, please. We're doing all we can to make him comfortable. He's delirious. The poor man thinks he's in hell or something.
Burning.
He's still feeling the flames from the crash. Well, the important thing is that we've pulled him through. He'll live.
Live? But what kind of a life will it be, so terribly scarred and burned? Oh, if only he didn't try to go back for her.
Mrs. Wilson, She was his wife.
She was a hussy. A no-good hussy who obsessed my darling boy. Well, she got what was coming to her. Was there any chance of saving her?
No. She died instantly.
Bernie.
There. There, my darling.
Bernie.
You still have your mother. I'll always look after you.
No, I think we'd better leave him. I'll let you know the minute he regains consciousness. Oh, Miss Barrows. He's still delirious, but there should be no further trouble through the night. I want you to stay close to him.
Yes, sir.
This way, Mrs. Wilson.
Cool it, Tiger. Listen to Nursie and cool it.
You go away. Go away.
Oh, no. You ain't never going to shake me, swinger. So you better cool it while you still can. Because someday you're going to make that discotheque scene again. Yeah. And old Nick, he's got lots of records all lined up for you. You dig?
Theater 5 has presented Discotheque, written by Romeo Muller, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, George Petrie, Evelyn Juster, Larry Haynes, Constance Parker, Ethel Remy, and Jeff David. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. Has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Discotheque, an episode of Theater 5, ABC's ambitious attempt at radio drama from the mid-1960s. This broadcast, program 110 in the series, aired on January 1st of 1965. The announcer for Theater 5 was Fred Foy. He is perhaps best known as the longtime announcer for The Lone Ranger. Well, we have a few minutes to kill before we wrap up this hour, so let's listen to an episode of Incredible But True, a syndicated series probably from the early 1950s, in much the same vein as Ripley's Believe It or Not. This broadcast, episode 37 in the series, no specific date given, Handwriting on the Wall.
Slowly and laboriously, from rocks and tablets of stone, the historians have pieced together a picture of the ancient world. And their knowledge is final and certain and irrefutable. At least, it was, until that day when a man named Ramos happened to glance heavenward.
For nearly 12 centuries before the birth of Christ, the name of Phoenicia looms large in the history of Western culture. The Phoenician peoples were the traders of the Old World, the navigators, the discoverers of new routes and new lands. But even for such daring spirits as these, the world had limits. Beyond the Mediterranean itself lay the great, mysterious sea. And there they did not go. So the historians tell us. And so we have always believed. And strangely enough, we go on believing it, despite the startling discovery that a man named De Silva Ramos made. Senor Ramos was a noted Brazilian archaeologist. He and a group of fellow scientists were engaged in a research project in the mountains of the Javier region near Rio de Janeiro. On a certain afternoon, they entered a narrow defile that ran between two sheer walls of rock. And before traversing it, they sat down to rest. One of Ramos' colleagues sniffed the air.
I think we're in for a little rain, Dr. Ramos.
It will not come before evening. The sky is still quite clear.
You can't see much sky from here.
No, but if you look straight up there, you can... Good heavens. What in the world is that?
What?
Carved in the rock, halfway up. Is not that writing of some sort?
Ah, by George, I think you're right. It's an inscription.
The characters are at least 3 feet high.
How could anyone possibly have carved them in that inaccessible spot?
And who could have carved them? That is the real mystery.
I don't recognize the characters at all.
And neither do I. They are certainly not Indian or Inca. By heaven, I am going to find out what they are.
After he had returned to Rio, Senor Ramos lost no time in arranging for climbing equipment to be carried into the mountains. And a few weeks later, he published his opinion on the origin of the strange writing.
I know that my findings will be regarded with considerable skepticism. For if I am correct, then the history of the world needs to be rewritten. And yet I have no choice but to state what I believe to be the truth. The inscription I discovered is in the language of the Phoenicians.
Since that time, Senor Ramos' opinion has been supported by numerous other authorities, among them the renowned Professor Schwenhafen. And yet the logical conclusions to be drawn from the opinion have been ignored by the whole world. We prefer to pay homage to Columbus as the discoverer of America and to disregard the evidence that he arrived 3,000 years after the real discoverers, though that evidence happens to be incredible but true.
Handwriting on the Wall, the 37th episode in the syndicated series Incredible But True, probably from the early 1950s. It's difficult to determine exact or even rough dates for many syndicated broadcasts from radio's golden era. That's because these broadcasts were sent to many different radio stations across the country, and as such, they were aired on different days, different weeks, different months, and even different years. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of the program. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed this trip back through time. And I hope you enjoyed it enough that you'll make it a point to tune in again soon for another hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.